that others would come and ask, what must I do to be saved? Lord, we pray that these words of life will refresh us, revive us, rejuvenate us. We will run on and see what the end shall be. God, give us this refreshing moment that we might collect ourselves again. It has been an interesting week for some of us. And here we are now, Lord, at the rest station. We come to revive ourselves again. Lord, we pray that others would come and be revived as well. We pray, God, that the energy in this place will just go off the charts. We might lift up and magnify your name in such a way, Lord, that certainly we would make a noise from this place. God, we pray that we have done all that we know how to do in preparation. Now, Lord, bring performance to fruition. Let us be the church. And so, God, we have talked about it. Now, Lord, let us be about it. And we pray, God, that you would again forgive us of our sins and have mercy on us. Pray, God, that we are indeed doing the best we know how. So we ask for wisdom and intellect. We ask for understanding and inspiration, if you will. We ask that you would certainly instruct us. And Lord, that we'll hear your voice. And Lord, then we will do. Father, again, we thank you. We ask your blessing now in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray, God. Let's go again. Just getting toward the end of Titus chapter 2. We'll be looking at verse 12. And he talked about us living in the evil world of wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. So we want to dig into that just a little more, and then we're going to start talking about a couple more things, and we'll move on to the next part, understanding our duty as we serve in the Lord. So let's go again and look at what it means for us to live in the evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. Now, wisdom is easy. Oh, Lord, hello, Mrs. Woodson, how are you? Good to see you, darling. Miss Woodson is back in her place. God bless you this morning. Oh, I'm just fine, thank you. No brighter spot in the church than Doris Woodson. And for you haters, just keep living. Amen. Wisdom is probably the easier one, but you need that. My father used to say to us in interesting moments that the more he teach us, the dumber he gets. And then he'd ask us, well, how dumb can he be? Well, that was open. It's going to depend on what subject matter we're on. But in the body of Christ, we need wisdom to operate with the supernatural things, holy things, divine things, sacred things, requires the wisdom, not from this world, but only from Christ. When Jesus comes on the scene, one of the things that he said that sticks out as much as anything, the first thing he said, you got to learn me. You know, and I say this, and I mean it in all sincerity. You can have a lot of worldly knowledge, but it doesn't necessarily translate to the church. There are a lot of things the world teaches you that we really don't want to use in the church. You know, but there are things that you'll learn of God that you can always use in the world. Thank you. I thought I'd get you. Amen. And so what we need to understand, or at least what we're going to go after, is spiritual wisdom. Paul tells the church of Corinth, he says that the Spirit searches all things. And then he tells them, he said, now don't get too alarmed when your worldly friends don't understand your spiritual position. And he said, it takes the Spirit to search the Spirit and define things in the Spirit. And you really ought to enjoy that. You ought to have that I got a little secret look on your face every now and then, because you know a little something that the world don't know. And so when Paul says that, it's really something we ought to go after. I think sometimes we spend too much of our energy on worldly appearance things rather than seeking the spiritual things that ought to be apprehended. Because when you got that, you got that. Your worldly appearance.
fuchsia. They got a fuchsia Bible cover. Fine, honey, but if the pages ain't wrinkled, if your Bible ain't raggedy like mine, where when you hold it like this, you got to be ready to catch a page or two, you have put enough mileage on that thing. God don't want you to show up to heaven with low mileage Bibles. You ought to be done tripped the odometer a few times. And the reality for us is, part of the reason we don't have wisdom is because we won't listen and we won't learn, and then we worry about how we live. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand because we might get a little personal. Let me make sure I read this right. How many of you have ever looked at your life in reflection and said to yourself, how in the world would I do that like that? Your living ought to reflect your spiritual life. I told them in Bible Academy Thursday that you have to get to the point where you can live by the scripture. And what God is saying is not cliche, but it's the model of your life. When he says, don't worry, you ought not worry. When he says you're more than, you ought to be more than. You ought to be less than. God never called us to be average. Okay, thank you. Some of y'all got it. You ain't going to be average. How can you be average when you're the head and not the tail? How can you be average when you're the lender and not the borrower? How can you be average when you can do all things through Christ? Listen, let's go back to school. If you go back to school in your best years and do all things, you would be on the honor roll. You'd be the salutatorian or the valedictorian. You wouldn't be the child they call in the last, oh, by the way, one more just day. Just day. This just came in. She made it. You want to be up on that stage where you give your little speech and got your little things around your neck, you know? I still got my little things they gave you when you get in your honor society. That little thing, your little sash. I still got it. It's at my mama's house. I told you that stuff at your mama's house. But my point is, you were called for greatness. It takes a wisdom to get that. Moses had to acquire wisdom in the heat of battle. And when things were going down, you know, the Lord had to remind him, oh, you got a staff, son. You know me. What are you fretting about? David had to come to that understanding. When the Lord had, son, you don't want to call me your shepherd. What you fretting about? Lying. All of them had to come to a spirit because the world stuff was getting the best of them. Let me help you understand something. When the world stuff gets the best of you, the world will get the best of you. Why are you running? You done had your best day in the Lord, and that afternoon you running. David, you killed Goliath. You stood up and testified in Sunday school about killing a lion and a bear. And here you out here in the desert crying. You forgot who you are. You forgot whose you are. And whatever you do, don't forget what you're supposed to be doing. And Grandma was right, you got an idle mind, you just open yourself up to be the devil's workshop. And so spiritual wisdom is critical for us because there are so many things that God is saying to us that if you get this, you got the world. You want the world. You want to be confident. Again, think about going undefeated years ago. Preach that sermon, man. I'm going undefeated. Boy, we jumped and shouted the wild, you know. But you got to live that. Remember, you seen the Wizard of Oz? That little scene, everybody, well, I won't say everybody, but it's very popular. And they're walking through the jungle, and it's dense, you know. And they make them a little song. Lion, tiger, hey, oh my. Lion, tiger. And what they're doing is they're really building up their courage. They make a little, how many of y'all make a little song so you can remember it? Like in the movie Samuel L. Jackson, what was the name of that movie? Him and the lady, and he had the most crazy clothes on. He would make a song to remember stuff. You know, putting a gun in my pocket, a knife in my shoe. And he made a song so he could, and she asked him, what is it? He said, that's how I remember things. And so for us, sometimes it is indeed what you say to yourself is your encouragement. You know, David did a lot. David said, why am I downcast? What's wrong with me? And then he shook himself. He said, wait a minute, I'm David. And that's what you have to do. But it takes wisdom to do that. does not allow us to go in and out of character. He says, Titus, in this evil world, you got to be different. Because you will always be known as the Lord's servant. Amen. You know, old folk, when I was growing up, every funeral they sang me, the works I've done speak to me, because little folk did stuff. But they had character. It was easy to do some folk funeral back then. But they had character. They stood up and said, you know, old sister, so, and people say, amen. You know, they mentioned some of the stuff, old sister, so, and some brother, so, amen. Nowadays, when you do a funeral, you mention stuff, they say, who's funeral is this? You know? Pastor, know who that is in front of him? Pastor, open that thing and look again. I think you're talking about somebody we don't know. The reality for us is this. When you got wisdom, righteousness goes with it. You're smarter than that. That word I've hidden in my heart gives us the gauge. It gives us the parameters. You can't, you say, no, look. How many of you have ever said this? Said, Lord, what do you want me to do? How many of you have ever set your feet toward evil and you remember that a good man's steps are ordered by God? How many of you had the knife in your hand and said, ooh, let me just slice this cake and you done it? You know, God, listen, grandma and them was right when they said he sit high and look low. Remember they told you you can't hide from God? Yeah, you can. I wish sometimes God would blink, but he don't. So righteousness is critical. And then the thing that he talks about, again, is devotion. Devotion. True devotion. Bless the children. Blessed are both. Sorry, Jess. Son, Jess, you don't know that song. True devotion. You don't know that? James, you know that? Look, Jess. But devotion is critical. This whole section is going to stay out. Don, you got that one? You
grew up old school.
You grew up old school. Come on up to the front. The problem for us is this. We tend to want devotion based on our own willingness to comply, willingness to surrender, willingness to go further. The Lord says, no. Don't work like that. Let's go to Mark chapter 12. I'll show it to you. Don't work like that. Every one of us, from the youngest to the eldest, must understand devotion on God's terms. All right, y'all quiet right now. On God's terms. Let me tell you something. You don't serve God when you go in and negotiate. How many of y'all ever negotiate? Try. Yeah, sometimes they try. If some of y'all were big leagues, that, you know, like over Starling and Deacon Walker there, Brother Susan there, and a few of y'all had them big jobs. When you come in, they offer you a salary, and then you get to go and negotiate, you get a counter offer. You know, they say the thing, say, but we like to start you at 92,006, and you go, well, you didn't read my resume, did you? They said, well, you know, we understand. He said, no, did you read that last little part right there where it said PhD? And what PhD means, pay heavy duty. And so you said, that'd be nice if I was a generic employee, but I'm thinking somewhere around these six figures, and I need this, and this, oh, okay, yeah, very good. And so the reality for us is you can't do that with God. You'd like to. I know you would. You would. You'd like to go there and say, God, you can't write that down. But no, you can't negotiate with God. So here's what Mark 12, y'all there?
Yes.
All right, come down verse 29, I believe. I probably should have kept my book. Am I close to where I want me to see? I got a Bible over here. Yeah. Everybody at verse 29?
Yes.
What does it say? Somebody read that. Do like the old school church. Read. your orange jacket. Just saying. And God help us in a green jacket. You know how they tell you about them colors, you know, red and blue make this, and yellow and this make that? Well, dark green and dark black don't make nothing. Yeah. And so anyway, whenever they had to go somewhere, you had to have your jacket on. And here's the kicker, this part really got me. They wore white pants. Oh yeah, I got some pictures. They wore white pants with these blazers. They had on an orange blazer and white pants, green blazer and white pants. And then, but I'm telling you, but when you saw all of them, all the old heads, that we call them down south. Man, look at here. Them dudes, man, they back then all of them had Jerry curls too. Just hate about fall out of shit. But you know, this was, you know, they all them dudes, all of the old dudes went from having the old high top, old school high top. To get Jerry curl. Man, I came home from, I was in the military, I came home and saw my dad with a Jerry curl. I looked at my mom and said, and you said, what? Child, your dad in the limelight. That was the name of their club, the limelight. But they thought they were big players, the limelight. You know what I'm saying, the limelight. That's how they saw this. And then all of them went out and bought these custom bands. Y'all remember them custom bands with bands? All these jokers, I'm saying these old dudes, you talk about that life crisis moment. Them cats went all in. They all had custom vans, Jerry curl, and you couldn't tell them nothing. But whenever they went out, you knew who they were. And they would do the thing like in the social club, and I'm sure fraternity sorority, they would pick somebody at church one Sunday and say, we're going to come. You know, it had to be 60 of them dudes. Most of them worked together and stuff like that. They grew up together. But they would always do that little presentation thing. My dad was a big ball of shot caller. He liked the limelight. He'd get up and this guy went over to church much. But when it was time for him to go to one of the churches, he'd go up and do a little presentation. And he always tried to be funny. I don't know where he did that from. But anyway, my point is they committed themselves to being looking, presented, and they didn't wait. They were the line. And if you didn't show up in jacket and breeches, you sit somewhere else. And so now Mark is saying through Christ, he said, listen, man, you want to know what's really important? Get your God stuff right. And don't deviate from it. They had rules and bylaws and all that stuff. And if you did, you had to pay a fine. You know, you come to the meeting late and pay the fine. If you went in uniform, you pay the fine. And them cats, man, they didn't go, I ain't paying. They did it. They did. And, you know, I got to sneak in sometimes and watch them. You know, because my dad was president. My dad owned the club and all that kind of stuff. So I come in sometimes and watch how they operated. But those guys respected what they were. It mattered to them. And Lord help me, one of them died, man. They showed up. They would bumblers other pallbearers and say, oh no, we carrying bucks on us. They just did stuff because they were committed. They were devoted to each other. One of them got sick or something, you ain't got to worry about it. They go by the house, get the grass cut, wash the van, do all kinds of stuff for the family. You know, I'm serious, they looked out for each other. And even though they're old and most of them, when my father died a few years ago, there's a couple of them still coming around, you know. Do anything, they didn't get that walk off my toe. But they still try. But here's what he says to the church. And for fraternity and sorority.
Thursdays and Sundays and Wednesdays, and I'm not sure who's in love. I knew when my children were in love. I knew when my brothers and sisters were in love. You could see it. Why? Things started changing. Their focus changed. They started dressing. You can tell when a young lady done found her fella by the way she dressed. Ain't no more pigtails now. She getting her hair styled. She combing it and taking her time, and she done found some of that little bubble gum to rub on her eyes. You know, and she walking, and you say, look here with your little fast self. See, back down south, they call them fast. You know, and that's when you knew they were changing over. Look, she done got fast now. You better watch her. You know, and so it is. That's when them old ladies start saying, look here, come on from around there with them boys is. Because they knew. See, grandma used to say, you're smelling yourself. You know, and little stuff like that. But you knew. But you could tell they were in love, or thought they knew what love was. And then fellas, you can tell when the fellas fall in love, because they don't hang out with the fellas no more. All the fellas come around on their bicycle, say, man, you going with us? No, y'all go ahead. It's where you going, man. I ain't going nowhere. As soon as they go that way, you ride to that gal house as fast as you can. But your fellas done figured it out. They come around there and get you. I knew you was over here, man. Man, y'all gone, man. You in love. But how about the church? Can you tell when folk in love with the Lord? Do you see any changes in them? Listen to what he said. Love the Lord with all your heart. You couldn't get off that phone. You couldn't stay away from that. Because you were in love. Your mind, didn't I blow your mind this time? Didn't I? If you were a fellow, you had to know how to rap. But see, you could see it. But how about the church? Too busy thinking about my baby, ain't got time for nothing else. How about the church? Nothing you can say can take me away. See, how about the church? That's what God wants you to do. How about this one, young ladies? You young ladies, all y'all done heard this one. Well, if you love me, you'll. And you got to decide if you're in that kind of love. Now, y'all don't go too far with it. I'm just trying. But every guy knows that line. Well, if you really love me, if I'm the one, you know, Marvin Gaye. There we go. Marvin Gaye put this, he said, between two of us guys, you know I loved you more. It took me by surprise, I must say, when I found out. See, now there's somebody, and he said, that don't make no sense to me. He said, you got to make a decision. If it's true, please tell me, girl. Do you plan to let me go for the other guy? Now he's telling you, you can't have it both ways. One of us got to be the one. He said, but the trouble is, I heard it through the grapevine. My question is, what's the grapevine saying about your relationship with God? What's the room on you and your relationship with God? Who can testify that they know you in love with him? How many of you ever had to vouch for a friend? Their friend came and said, well, do she? And you had to go, no, you good. Ain't none of y'all ever had to go testify for a friend? You good, Pat, yeah, James. Why, no, you raise your hand for everything else. You know, when somebody say, no, don't break up with him. He, but see, who can testify you in the body of Christ? Who's going to come in and step up for you? If you had to go to trial right now and were charged with infidelity, who would speak for you? I can tell you what, some of y'all better not call me. Because I'm going to tell them, when they say you try to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so I'm going to say yes. And they're going to say, listen, in the case, stop right there, Mr. Attorney. No. Don't let me impugn this witness. No, just let me go sit down. I thought y'all was calling me up here about that other case. But if you calling me up here for Sister X, no. She put me as a hostile witness. Who knows you're in love with God? Who knows you're devoted? Because you still know the tree by the fruit that it bears. Let me tell you how generic, but general, and how much gravity is in that statement. Everything about you ought to be about him. That's what that really means.
If you really of Christ, we'll see the results that Christ had. If you're really doing what he's doing, we'll see you doing what you can't be a tree that bears an odd fruit and call yourself in Christ Jesus. No, he said, listen, nobody expects thorns and thistles where there ought to be blooms and fruit. He said, if the owner went out and saw that, he'd cut that rascal down. How many of you would get cut down today because of your lack of devotion? And it's so easy to do it. How many of you ever heard your mama tell you this? You do know it's easier to do right than it is to do wrong. It takes more effort to do wrong than to do. You remember that kind of saying? Listen to what he said. Here's what he said. He said, if you want to know the truth about what you're in now, Israel, this is the Lord who is the only one. See, it's easy to love one. You know, don't buy that song, if you can't love the one you want, love the one you're with. That's dramatically dangerous there. I'm serious. And some of us play Jesus like that. Because if the devil will get to us, we are right the devil right now. If we can hook and crook it, we'll hook and crook it and then explain to Jesus later that, you know, you take too long. I thought I'd go ahead and help you out. You can't help the Lord. You just got to wait. You can't hurry, love. You just got to see. There it is again. But here it is. He says, Israel, let me help y'all with something. Stop fooling yourself. Ain't but one God. Just a matter of the redditor. He said, he is the one and only. How hard can it be to love the one and only? And then you're like, can't nobody do me like Jesus. You don't love him like that. If can't nobody, then why you keep playing him like that? If the Lord is the Lord, he said, listen, I tell you what, choose today. Are you going to serve the God of your forefathers, the one that did anything and everything, or are you going to get hooked up with the God in this land, with the Amorites and Perizzites? He said, you got to make a decision. That's what Joshua said. He said, and you don't get all day. Choose this day. And for those who were confused, he said, well, let me tell you what I'm going to do. He said, ask for me and my house, all them who eat my food and ride my cars and ride my chariots, we going to serve the Lord. He said, now you think about that and get back with me before the close of business. And some of us been acting like we ain't made our decision yet. We old now and still playing this. You going to either be with him or you going to die without him. And then somebody just got smart. I'm going to die anyway. Then die and go to hell if you want to. That's your choice. Let me tell you, I told Pat this the other day. It's all about choices. I think Sister Demetria was in my office while I was talking to her. It's all about choices. And I don't understand why people keep making such stupid choices when the simplicity of the matter is, yes, Lord. Ain't but one God. You don't have to worry about all them other ones. Ain't but one true God. Let's put it that way. How about that? A lot of other gods, but there's one true God. That's what he just told me. And watch this. He said, now, if you want to do this right, he said, and you must. Ain't no option. I told you, one of our problems is we give people choices, they tend to make the wrong one. How many of y'all watch, what's that show that comes on, Let's Make a Deal, and what's the other one, where you get to pick Price is Right? You know, people get up there and get greedy. You know, old Wayne Brady, he said, now, you won that already. He said, but how about we go for door number two? And they be, woo, turn around looking at their friend. Now, here's the funny part. I told my wife this a long time ago. You turning around seeking advice from folk who ain't got nothing. You up there with $1,000 in your hand, turn around looking at your friend who came on a bus. And look, and she going, go for the dog. Go for, she ain't got nothing. At least you can buy y'all lunch and go back on an Amtrak. I'm going to do it. I'm going for door number two. And then you get, and your friend going, your friend glad that you now ain't got nothing again. You don't ask people who ain't got nothing when you already got something.
You came in there with nothing. You don't want a stereo, a canoe that you ain't going to be able to do nothing with. You sell it. Put it, don't let it go. Soon as you get outside, log on to let it go and sell it. But you coming into a situation where you have a God of fulfillment, my friend. A God who says, all you got to do is ask me. And you stand around going, I don't know if I want to be devoted to that. You stand around looking in the face of a God who says, I was here before everything. And you worrying about one day? You got to love him. He said, listen, you must love him. That shouldn't be so hard. But it is. Apparently, I'm missing something. How do you not love God? Seriously, come on. I mean, it's just us. Ain't nobody here. Just us. How do you not devote yourself? How do you not walk with him? How do you let his hand go? How do you not talk to him every day? He said, Israel, ain't but one God, one true God. And you must love him. And then he says how to love him. Now, there are three aspects to this, and I'll finish. I ain't going to get all of them in, but I'll give you at least it. First of all, when you really are devoted to God, if you really get this, and this is crazy. This is crazy me to have to say it, but I'm going to say it. The first thing we should know is the worthiness or worthiness of your worship. That's what God's looking for. Remember what he told the woman? He said, baby, you got a lot of things on your mind out here. This well is hot. He said, but let me help you to get everything streamlined. And so you won't have to worry about a lot of this worldly stuff. He said, my father is looking for true worship. Isn't that something? Is that something? Can I tell you something? When the worthiness of your worship goes up, the worthiness of your life goes up. Okay, I got six amens. I can count. I'm telling you, you are worried about too many things. You're troubled about too many things. Worship him. Now I'm down to three amens. I'm telling you, worship changes everything. Here's what the older saints knew that we obviously don't recognize. There is no substitute for sincere time spent with God. That's why they went to church like they did. That's why they went to them little Bible studies and went to the BYPU. They knew that time I spend with God gets my mind off all this other stupid stuff. Because when I go into his house, it's all about him. That's why you saw a change in disposition when they came back from church. I heard my grandmother tell my grandfather one time, EC, you better be glad I go to church. Now, I don't know what that meant, but I think he did. And I've heard her tell other people, she said, you know, you ought to thank God along with me that I'm a Christian and that I love the Lord. You know, they weren't, those people were not the lay down their religion kind of people. They put up with stuff because their religion, their relationship, matter, because they knew God saw them. My grandmother, you sit on that porch, and I know sometimes y'all be thinking, I don't want to hear about his grandma. Well, I don't know your grandma. So I can talk about mine. But my grandmother would sit on that porch and bless people. She'd see people go by, and she said, come here a minute, honey. And she'd talk to them, and she genuinely would engage people. She said, how your mama and them doing? She said, tell your mama I said hello. Matter of fact, take this to your mama for me. Tell her I ain't seen in a while and I had it on my mind. My grandmother would literally, I'm serious, make care packages and sit them on the porch. And when certain people came by, she said, honey, I've been holding something for you. Come here a minute. And you know what? People knew that Mamie Perkins Williams would bless you. She said, come here a minute, honey. They ain't going, I'm busy. She said, come here a minute, honey. They swing around. Yes, ma'am. She said, well, how are your mama? She said, look at here. T- tell your mama I had a little something for her. Come on up here and get to and take to. See, they didn't do, you know, Pat Price English. They did they, and she said, get to and take it to her. She said, come on and fetch this for your mama, you know. And they said, thank you. She said, oh, child, don't worry about it. Just a little something. My grandmother, when she shopped, she bought stuff for other people. Because she was the Lord's servant. And when she went to church, little short, fat, portly woman that she was, she couldn't get all the way off the ground, but she can get her heels up. And she'd do that little bounce thing. And she meant that. But she knew that the worthiness of her worship was really about God. And we even quizzed her a couple times and said, Grandma, don't you know people be looking? She said, honey, I don't see them people. She said, you got to have your mind stayed on the Lord. She said, that's what's wrong with y'all now. You're too busy looking at them and don't know who looking at you. The Lord see you. And so the worthiness of your worship is critical. So Jesus tells that woman, he said, baby, you worry about people seeing you, who know your marital situation, what your income tax bracket is. Look, honey, that ain't what God coming back for. The Lord is coming to get his worshipers. Because they got to join with a group that know how to do it up there. All day long, that's all the angels do, back and forth, all day. They don't take no breaks. They don't drink no coffee. They don't take no time off. And you sitting here, you can't worship 30 minutes and think you're going to live in heaven forever. You done lost your mind. Because some of us sit up in here like we've been glued to that pew. Like our arm broke. You don't even shake your head. I'm serious. You don't have to do what nobody else do, but you ought to do what you do. And so the worthiness of your worship is a part of whether or not you're devoted or not. We sing for you. We played our harps for you, but y'all didn't get it. That's what he told me. He said, we were showing you how we love our God, but y'all didn't get it. Why? Because y'all don't know him like we know him. And so, because of their fraudulent viewpoint, here's what they said next time. He said, we just hung our harps in the willows and refused to sing in that land because they don't know our God over there. So we're not going to play that game with them. We just figured we'll just put our music instruments away. And until y'all understand what we really do, don't ask us to do it. We're not performers. And, you know, we turn church into performance. But true worship has value. I'm running out of time. I told you we're going to make it. So understand that part of that devotion is, one, if you're really devoted, you got to be sincere. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sincere. Moses, let me give you an example. Moses goes to Pharaoh. Y'all know the story. Y'all been through. Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, we got to go, man. He said, we've been summoned to the desert so we can worship God. Pharaoh said, y'all can do that right here. Moses said, no, because we hindered here. So we got to go. We have to go out there so we can be free with God and worship him. And Pharaoh said, y'all can do that right here. Y'all ain't got to go out. Moses said, no, it's not sincere here. We're pent up. We're feeling some kind of way. And we're under your house rules. We want to go out there where God is because God is. We want to be sincere. We want our worship to be to God. You want folk to do stuff. Y'all remember Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You remember the decree? And see, Daniel said, I don't care what y'all say. I'm not bowing down to nothing. Y'all can blow the horn, the trumpet. Y'all can get a gazoo. He said, but in my house, I'm going to do what I always did, worship God. I'm going to throw back my little sash like I've been doing and face to the Lord. And y'all can look at me if you want to. But I don't care. And so they run back and told the king, said, oh, king, did thou not? He said, yeah. He said, well, didn't Daniel think he's somebody else? Daniel think that you ain't the real God. Daniel thinks somebody higher than you. And he brought Daniel. He said, Daniel, is it true? And they said, yeah, absolutely. He said, oh, you. Daniel said, man, do what you got to do. He said, I knew about the decree, but go on to. No, and see, our problem is we try to act like we're going to be policed because we worship God.
We trying to act like, no, nobody care like you ought to care. You ought to be sincere. When you worship God, you ought to worship God. Because if you're trying to do what everybody else doing, that's not your worship. Amen. I'm convinced that everybody can't dance. You know, I'm convinced everybody can't get the down step and all that kind of stuff. But y'all do something. If you don't do it, just wave your hand. You can do that. But God ought to see your worship. Y'all hear what I said? I didn't say I ought to see it. I said God ought to see your worship. And I'm, you know, I've had this argument before. I don't know why we need a worship leader. I don't know. Listen, when I was in school, and I'm going to finish here. When I was in school, they used to have these fire drills. You know, fire drill. Well, let me tell you why it don't work. I could see the fire trucks outside. Everybody knew when the fire truck came, we gonna have a fire drill. But one day, I was in school. I heard them before I saw them. Now there've been days we'd hear the fire truck, and it but when you hear it go. In front of the building, there's a problem. They didn't have to tell us to go outside. Some people saw the smoke and the truck and put two and two together and said, this is not where we need to be. We were leaving the building before the fire thing even went off. You know why? It's real now. Y'all missed that. It matters now. And all that you showed me, oh, I know how to do it, but it matters now. All that, you know, line up in the hall and all that, and all, we were going out the door to the next door. And I said, door, D-O-E, door. Because we knew it's real now. And that's what some of us don't understand about being a worshiper. It ought to be real. And you don't know when it's real. Listen, I'm telling you now, we played church when I grew up. Yes, we did. But that's how I know how to do church now. I preached out in the garage, took up an offering and all that kind of stuff. But my coming here, now, that's why I can do this now. Because I did it then. I've been doing it since I was 7 years old. I laughed at deacons who prayed on one knee. We could hum just as good as any deacon when we were 8, 9, 10, 11. But now I hum real now. I knew when Sister McKenzie was about ready to lose that hairpiece. I knew when Lou Ella McBride was going to stand up and turn around that organ and just keep doing like this, she couldn't even play no more. They should have had an automatic key on there. So, but it didn't matter when she stopped. Now, soon as the music stopped, we stopped. But Lou Ella McBride would play. We had a pipe organ to the glory of God. But when that Holy Ghost hit her, she would stand up and the church kept on going. Because it was real. We put them hymn books down after a while and still knew all four refrains because it was real. When people walked around the church, they wasn't going out the door. They were just letting the Lord know I'm on my way. And it was worship that came from their heart. And folk who didn't get it always were doing the looky-loo. It's going to always be some looky-loos. But you don't have to worry about them. Step on them and slap them and act like you ain't know no better. But one of these days, they gonna get real too. It might be at a funeral. It might be in a hospital room. It might be in a courthouse. It might be in a jail cell. But there's gonna come a day when they gonna know Jesus is real. Ain't gonna be no music. Ain't gonna be no Kirk Franklin, no Fred Hammond. There's something in the inside going to start singing so loud that they're going to have to say, thank you, Jesus. That's why Paul and Silas set that jail on edge. They had no choir. Didn't nobody tune them up. They thought about the Lord. And everybody in there with not a songbook, not a musical class, start singing praises. And we sit up in the church with our arms folded like we indignified by somebody asking us to bless the Lord. And then soon you catch hell, You want us to come and pour oil on you and lift you out of your doldrums and pay your bills and get your son a scholarship. But you done sit in God's house and act like you didn't know him all them days. But soon as you got a court subpoena, Pastor, y'all pray for me. I got a case. You had a case long time ago. You just wouldn't come forward with it. Y'all ain't talking to me. And our young people in the back of the church, little by little, we stopped chewing gum, stopped writing notes. Little by little, our ranks got thinner because folk who started worshiping moved out of there. That old son, he said, I moved from that old house and my old way of life. People who got it left. And then the rest of us start looking around saying, wait a minute. And I thank God I wasn't the last one to leave. But you got to have worship, and it's got to be sincere. That's devotion. You'll walk halfway across town to meet your lover. You'll drive. You'll forfeit some things. You'll sacrifice your own dignity because you're in love with him or her. How about loving God like that? I'm telling you now. And you know, Grandma Lynn was right. I know I've gone over my time a little bit, but I'm still the pastor. Grandma Lynn was right. Ain't no fool like an old fool. And don't wait to get old and get stupid. Love the Lord in your youth. Train your children how to love God. I watch some of these young folk. They worship. I watch them. They may not be experts, but who is? But they know the Lord. Yeah, I've been watching them. Now, it's come two, three of them that I'm powerful worried about. As Grandma them say, I'm powerful worried about you. Because they think they're too cute. They, you know, they're going to put a little stuff on their face and got a little phone. See, we didn't have none of that stuff to distract us. When we went to church, we didn't have nothing. We didn't get no dolls. We didn't have no coloring books. You know, Grandma them didn't play that. And so let me ask you, and I know some of y'all going to get mad right along through here, but how your child going to focus on the Lord when you giving them trinkets to play with in the Lord's house? We didn't have none of that, did we? You sit your butt where Grandma told you to sit, and when they said, all right, you Grandma gave you that, your feet hurt. And when they said, go, you go. Grandma put them little dimes in our hand because everybody got to bring something to the Lord's house. My grandma literally lined us up and did a pat down. Y'all thought I was going to say she gave. No, she did a pat down. You couldn't have no marbles in your pocket. You couldn't have no little car. No, sir. This ain't no playhouse. This the Lord's house. Yeah. Grandma said, I wish I would catch you back there with a coloring book in your hand. She pat you down. The little girl didn't even get, they ain't had no little pocketbook back then. You worship. God was the center of everything. And we wonder why the church don't look like it do. Because it ain't just children playing on Facebook and Angry Birds. It's grown folk. So how your child going to learn to worship a God that you play with? God ain't just the most important thing. God is the thing. And when you come to church, you ain't going to be here but an hour. You can't give God. You don't go to your job and play Angry Birds. If you do, you ain't going to have no job long. You don't sit there in your job and play solitaire and Sudoku or whatever that crazy thing is. Just put the numbers in the box and be done with it. Who cares if they match? Come on, y'all talk to me. Moses helps us understand. Mark is echoing the words. He said, you must love him. With all of your heart, all your mind means you can't be playing this and singing to him. You can't be doing this and thinking about him. Most of us can't multitask anyway. We're going to mess up one thing or the other. If you cooking and cleaning, either you're going to burn something or you're going to have clean. Just do one thing. That's what Paul said. Paul said, this one thing I do. Y'all ain't talking to me. I'm feeling good right along through here. You got a God who says, love me. And he shouldn't have to beg you for it. Love me. Marvin Gaye said, I want you the right way. But I want you to want me to. And I like this line. He said, don't play with something that you should cherish for life. Ooh, God Almighty. He said, this one-way love is just a fantasy. Y'all ain't talking to me. Don't come in here and play games. That ain't sincere. I know some of you parents, I know, right along through here, some of y'all ain't come back next Sunday because you thinking that's my child and I can do what I want to do. No, your child is God's child. That's just a loan to you. You have a responsibility to God to bring him back in the same way he gave it to you, bring it back to him with increase. Y'all ain't talking to me. Y'all ain't talking to me. I just need somebody to help me right along through here. Because when we went to church, we went to church. Grandma briefed us. She said, look here. We're going down to this here church. You're going to do what you ought to do. If you don't, you'll see me when we get out. And then she throw this line, don't make me get out of my seat and snatch you up. Because when they say snatch you up, it's a wonder all of us ain't have shoulder separation. Because they didn't gently say, come on. They snatched you up. Your feet never hit the floor till you were halfway to the back of the church. And there was always some old sister there going, amen, honey. Y'all ain't talking to me. Then you got one who said, I'm about to get it myself. And if your mama wasn't in church, there was a designated snatcher-upper. Come on with me, honey. Your mama gonna want to see you. Why? Because God was God. We have reduced God to a part-time lover. That we'll see him when it's convenient. Come on, talk to me. I see it. I stand here. I'm trying to tell y'all, until we become devoted to God by the God standard. I know, parents. I hear you. I got a grandson, too. I know. I ain't saying nothing that don't affect me, too. I'm with you. I know. I know y'all see him. Yeah, he got a little thing in his hand, and but we working. Now, I ain't making no excuses because we talk about it. But the fact of the matter is, how are you going to train them to love God when they can download stuff on your phone before they can even read a scripture? These children can take your phone, bypass your security code, put a game on it, and say, you ain't know this phone could do this? And they don't know Matthew, Mark, Luke, James, nor John. But they know all the characters in Pokemon. Come on, talk to me. They know every Power Ranger. They know Raphael, Donatello. They know all of them. Them people can't do nothing for them. And you go in their closet and go in their room, you can find PlayStations, Xboxes, all the latest games, and you can't find a Bible with his name on it. You tell me we love God? No, we don't. He said, let me tell you something, Israel. There is one true God. You know we're going to all die and leave our children behind. We better leave them some Jesus. You can leave them an estate, that's fine, but an estate with no Jesus is soon to be bankrupt. That's why old folks say, ain't no money worse than dead folk money, because it don't last. But if you're going to give them anything, give them Jesus. And if you're going to give them Jesus, you got to have a Jesus to give them. Because if you don't know him, they ain't going to know him either. And if you know him part-time, they going to know him part-time too. There are some people who ain't going to show up to church till somebody get married, till somebody die, till there's a free eating. But Lord help us. When the only time we call his name is when we in trouble. That ain't no devotion. Come on, talk to me. I know I'm over my time. But I'm trying to tell you, Moses helps us. He says, Pharaoh, we got to go worship God. Pharaoh said, y'all can do that. He said, no, we can't. No, we can't. Your worship, your devotion is a reflection of your worship. And your worship ought to be sincere. You can't sing all to thee, my precious Savior, when he ain't all to you. That's why the hymn book don't work for us no more. Because them songs in the hymn book didn't make us do this. They made us do this. They made us say, God, I'm sorry. Because I ain't living like that. If that's how I'm supposed to live, God, I'm way off the mark. Y'all ain't talking to me. Can I still be the pastor? Thank you. And so the reality for us is, you ain't sincere because you ain't focused. And if you ain't focused, you can't be faithful. And if you ain't faithful, you can't fight the good fight. And if you can't fight the good fight, you ain't no warrior. And if you ain't no warrior, you're going to be defeated. You can't say you're more than a conqueror and you can't fight. And Paul said, oh, you're going to have to fight because the enemy is at the door. You don't know why we're losing our children? Because we lost God. Get God back in the proper place first and watch your family change. Stop sitting around giving people who can't do nothing for themselves choices about going to church and going to Bible study or being in the youth ministry. They don't get to choose. Tell them, oh, you need to go see Miss Walker. You old enough now to go to that class. And let me tell you how my grandmother solved it. Because she said, let me help you with that sucking your teeth. I'll eliminate sucking your teeth by knocking all of them out your face. It's a wonder all of us ain't wearing dentures. They weren't scared of us. Y'all scared of y'all children. Y'all let y'all grandchildren and children run your house. You scared them. You scared to stand up to them. My grandma was this tall when I was a boy, and she never backed down. She never negotiated. Anytime she thought things were going bad, she said, who you think you talking to? Who you looking at like that? And she said, I will bust you upside your head to the white meat and make your mama them pay the bill. And she meant it. They threw stuff at us to get our attention. And then would put a bandit on and say, you brought it on yourself. Y'all, see, y'all scared of y'all children. Y'all let these little old people, how you going to let a little old boy like this tell you what he going to do? You don't even need duct tape for little people. You can use Scotch tape.